We've been doing a series on the secret kingdom, if you remember that. We've been kind of intermingled with other things that we've been doing. But last week we started a lesson on some of the spiritual laws that had to do with this. You know, we talk about physical laws like the law of gravity, Newton's law of motion, different things like that. But there are spiritual laws that apply in our lives too, you know, and those will work if we put them to use. Well, we started last week with the law of reciprocity. Our scriptures, that we had four scriptures, and you'll see on that piece of paper that we dealt with. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured back to you." That means in the same proportion that you give, God will give it back to you. Okay, our second verse was Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." You remember last week we talked about the widow woman. When Elijah, God spoke to him and said, "Go down to this town called Zarephath. And when you get there, I've got this widow woman ready to take care of you." Well, first of all, why would God choose a widow woman to take care of somebody? That's just completely opposite of what you think something that God would do. You think God would have a rich Hebrew there, a rich Jew there that was going to take care of him, but that's not the way God did. God said, "I've got a widow woman." So what was the first thing Elijah saw when he came to the gates of the city? He saw a widow woman, and she was picking up sticks. And he says, "Woman, give me a glass of water." She said, "Okay." And I'm sure she knew who he was. I mean, he was the prophet. Israel at that time was run by the prophet, priest, and the king. He was the prophet. And so I'm sure she said, "Okay, I'll go get you a glass of water." And he said, "By the way, while you're at it, make me a loaf of bread. Bring me some bread." And she said, "You know what? I don't have any bread." She said, "As sure as your God lives, I'm picking up sticks right now to build a fire, and I'm going to use the last little bit of flour I have and the last little bit of oil I have, and I'm going to make a loaf of bread. My son and I are going to eat, and then we're going to die of starvation." And so Elijah, he said, "That's okay. I want you to go ahead and do that. But first, what did he say to do?
Make one for me.
Make one for me." He didn't tell her. He said, "Go look and see if you have enough. Go see if there's enough there. First, go make me a piece of bread. Make me a little loaf of bread." And you know what? What did God do after that? She followed his directions, but what happened after she did that?
She,
as long as he was there till the rains came, she had food. Never ran out. God was her provision. Okay, so look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, the next one there on your paper. Oh, actually, Proverbs 3. We just did that. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to try to get through this today. If not, we'll have to go the next time. But I really want you guys to get this. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things," look how many times he says all, "may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad," in other words, he's thrown his seed out there, "he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Now, let me tell you something. Have you ever heard anybody pray, "Lord, bless those that are giving today, and for those that don't have to give, bless them"? That's a bunch of baloney. Everybody has seed. And that scripture right there says it. For he gives seed to the sower. Every one of you has something you can give. Every person in this world has something they can give. Maybe it's not material. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your prayer. Every one of us can give something. So when I hear that, I don't pray that. I don't pray, "God, if there are those that don't..." You know, if they want to be selfish and not follow this law of giving, and that they don't get anything back. What's zero times any number?
Zero.
If you don't give anything, God can't bless you back, right? So if you give just a little bit, God will give you a little bit. If you give a lot, God will give you a lot. Malachi 3, this is where we got to last time. Let's read that together. "Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. You saith the Lord of hosts, but you said, wherein shall we return? And God says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the last few weeks, I've given you guys some words of wisdom. Look at the top of the page. Applying knowledge to a situation is what makes up wisdom. You know, you may know the answer to something, but until you apply that answer, that knowledge, it's not wisdom, right? I've always used the example that, you know, a man could walk up to you and say, man, I'm starving to death. If I don't eat something, I'm going to die. And you say, oh, yeah, that's good. You know, I agree with you. And he could sit there and keep saying that until he falls over dead. But, you know, wisdom is if he has that knowledge, he's going to die if he doesn't eat. If he actually takes something and eats it. You see what makes it wisdom? If you actually apply that knowledge, it becomes wisdom. Look at the second one. Having the knowledge to apply to a situation and not applying it is what makes a man a fool. If you know what to do and you don't do it, it makes you a fool.
I heard a statement a long time ago, to know and not to do is not to know at all.
You're worse off. Yeah. You're worse off if you know and you don't do something. Look at the next one. You can't stop a fool from being a fool if that's what he or she chooses to be. You can't do it. You can talk all day long, you can talk to you blue in the face, but if they choose to be a fool, you can't stop that. Okay? So let me get back to where we got to last week, and we're going to continue this. Like I said, hopefully we're going to finish this up today. I see Christians every day of my life that God has not responded to their tears, and believe me, they've cried a lot of tears. God hasn't responded to their pain. They've gone through a lot of pain. God hasn't responded to their need. But the Bible tells us that God will always respond to our faith. You know, I can remember crying to the Lord back when I was going through such a hard financial time for about 7 years. And Lord God, why? And I didn't know this lesson. I didn't know that if I'd give, God could give back to me. So last week we talked about what is a tithe. Somebody tell me what a tithe, the real meaning of a tithe is.
10% of the first fruits.
10% of your income, 10% of your produce. Like we talked about, it used to be pastors got paid with chickens and hogs. I mean, people literally would bring, they'd bring vegetables. Matter of fact, my wife's parents, Barbara told me to tell all you guys, she had a really bad week at work last week. She called me Friday night from Gatlinburg in tears. They just had a horrible week. She said, tell them that I'm just trying to get a little rest so I can hit it again tomorrow. So if she asked, I told you, okay? Keep me out of trouble. But anyway, her mother and dad, when they got married, when I first met her, she had a bunch of slides that her dad had taken in Africa when they were missionaries. And she wanted to know if I could scan those and put them on a CD for her family. Well, I did that, and I was looking at some of their wedding pictures, and people actually brought like bags of peanuts and baskets of peanuts and different things like that. But that's what they had. They didn't have money, but they had seed to sow, and that was it.
And they're still doing it today.
I'm sorry?
They are still doing it today.
Now, oh, absolutely.
Take all their food stuff, bring it, or maybe they work for the pastor. They go out and brush a farm to help the pastor to have enough food at the end of the year. They don't have the money. They get their services.
But see, we all have seed to sow. You know, we all have seed. I that's just no excuse. So I don't have anything to give. Yes, you do have something to give. Okay? And you know, the Bible talks about tithes and offerings there in Malachi. Some Bible scholars, if you read different, I was reading several different Bible commentaries on this. Some of them believe that your offerings don't start until your tithe has been paid. Now, I don't know that I don't know how you feel about that. That's for you to decide with God. But I'm just telling you what I've read. Okay? But like we talked about at the very end of the class the other day, if you can't give 10%, if you can't believe God for that level, find some place you can believe God. Can you start with 3%? Can you start with 4%? And as you give that, but I'm not saying, well, you know, you look at your books, say, well, I got $2 left in a month, I'll give that. That's not what it's like. You're missing the whole point if you do that. Find something that's going to stretch your faith. Find something that you don't think you can do and say, God, I expect you to make up the difference. God said, that's the only time in the Bible God said, ever said, test me to see if this is true. He said, if you bring that tithe and offering in the storehouse, he would open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing. You know what? When God opens those windows of heaven, there's a stream and these rivers of blessings that start flowing. But because you refuse to give your tithes, you've built a dam, but you built it on somebody else's property. You've dammed up all those blessings, but it's not on your property because you've refused to give your tithe and offering. Now, if you do give your tithe and offering, what are some of the things God said other than open up the windows of heaven? Pour out blessings you can't receive at all. What's another thing he said? It's right there on your paper.
I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground.
That means
your refrigerator won't break down.
That's right. Karen, repeat what you said last week. I love this. Repeat what you said.
Well, if you don't give God his tithe, he'll take it from you. Your refrigerator will break. The devourer.
And who's the devourer?
He's going to get the money one way or another.
Right. Who is the devourer?
Satan.
So what happens if we know this and we don't do this, we have actually put a curse on ourselves. Now, you think about it. Can we rob God? Really, literally, can we rob God?
No.
What do we do when we don't? What does it mean by robbing him? It means that we've stopped him from giving us the blessings that he wants to give us. That's what he's saying. We're robbing God that chance to bless us like he wants to bless us.
He's always faithful. We're the ones that are unfaithful.
Absolutely. God never changes. His word is completely true. Everything, the same thing that makes this law work makes salvation work, and that's faith. This is just as sure to work as salvation. Do you believe you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, do you believe when you give your tithe, God's going to open up windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing you can't receive it? He's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. He's not going to let your fruit cast its your vine cast its fruit before its time. You know, that means that your fruit starts growing before it's ready, and then it just withers away and dies.
You just think about it and saying, well, wait a second. We don't give because God has needs.
Right. Right.
You know.
And that's it. See, God doesn't need our money.
Yeah.
But he also says, bring your tithe to the storehouse. What is the storehouse?
Church.
It's where you're getting fed, isn't it? You know, I used to hate this teaching. I used to see all these TV preachers that would preach this, and they're most of them, not all of them, most of their whole purpose was so they could get filthy rich. You know, they're preaching a truth, but their attitudes are wrong because they're trying to get you to give them money. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you what. First of all, we need to belong in a local church, which all you guys are, and I understand that. But the Bible tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need a local church. We need other believers that we can draw from and be with. We've got to have that. And that's our storehouse. If you're in a church, you're not getting fed, find a church where you're getting fed. But you need to give that tithe to that storehouse. And then if there's a TV ministry you like or something, give your offerings to that. But your tithe, you know what? What's going to happen? It's going to be just like our business world's becoming. You know, you try to find a bookstore anymore, you're pretty much sunk because Amazon's taken over. You got to do everything online. Well, what happens when there are no churches to go to? You know, are you going to email some TV preacher and say, hey, will you come and bury my dad or my mom or my brother or my sister or my child? Will you come and perform a marriage for us? That's not going to happen, is it? And you know, in our church, even Pastor David says in a big church like this, if you can only go to the big service or come to life group, come to the life group. And why is that? Why do you think he says that?
Because you connect with people.
Connect. I mean, you could go there, you can literally hide in that sanctuary. And you know, you could come every week and never have to be responsible or be accountable to anyone. Nobody will know if you're there or you're not there. But you come here and we care about you and we try to take care of each other.
You kind of glossed over that word, but the big part of it is accountability.
Accountability,
and
absolutely.
Being, that helps keep you from sin.
Yep.
But if you go and try to live the Christian life on your own, you'll more likely fall into sin.
And God never meant for us to live this Christian life alone. You know, we tell people that and celebrate recovery every week because they need to know if you could have done it on your own, you'd have been doing it on your own. Well, we can't do it on our own. God gave us other Christians to fellowship with and be with. And I need you guys' strength. I mean, you guys literally, I've said this a million times, you guys are my family. And I mean that with every ounce in me, that you guys are my family in Florida. I don't have anybody else here. And you guys literally, I mean, and really, you're closer than the rest of my family. I mean, we're here. So you guys mean a lot to me. It takes money to have full-time ministers. It takes money to have church. It takes money for these lights to be on. It takes money to have an air conditioner. And you know what? If you're coming to church every week and you're not giving, you're robbing the church, in my opinion. Okay? I'm not trying to be hard on
other people because they're paying for
it. They're having to do it. Everybody should give their part, and God will bless you. And I'm not just saying that I'm trying to shame you into giving. I'm trying to tell you that God will bless you. He says He will. He says, try me and see if I won't do that. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? If God says it, it's true. So like I say, if he says he's going to open up the windows of heaven, believe me, he will. I'm so far off my list here. Let's see. Okay. As you do this, as you give, not only will God give you provision, and let me tell you something, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Some preachers have taught that it's a get-rich-quick scheme, and let me tell you, it is not a get-rich-quick scheme. But there's a scripture that says, cast your bread upon the waters and you'll find it after many days. God wants us to get into a lifestyle of giving, where we're constantly giving, and then eventually, on every wave, we start getting something back from God. Now, believe me, there's a time that you've got to get started, and you may be at a point in your life you're desperate. Give and see if God doesn't do something. An extraordinary seed that's planted results in an extraordinary harvest. You know, some people teach this as a seed-giving type of thing. You'll hear that sometimes. Seed faith. It's all the same thing. But let me tell you, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. Matter of fact, in the Living Bible, I forget how it says it in King James, but in Proverbs it says, God is against get-rich-quick schemes. And let me tell you, I don't think God wants you out buying lottery tickets either. I think that's a waste of God's money, to tell you the truth. You know what? Trust in God. God will give you a lot better blessings than lottery tickets will. So anyway, that's just my 2 cents on that. Like I said, the devourer, if you don't do this, the devourer will destroy your land. And let me ask you, nobody, you don't have to answer me, but what area of your life do you need the devourer to be rebuked? Think about that today. Another thing, in what area of your life are your crops being destroyed? Think about those two things today. Another one, what area of your life do you see your vine casting her fruit before it's time? So why don't you meditate on those things today and look at what God's doing. And it says that if you do this, if you tithe, it says that everyone will see that you are blessed and everyone will call you a delightsome land. Now, let me tell you, there's always, you got to keep grounded in God's word, right? We've talked before about there's always two ditches on the side of a road. You don't want to get in either ditch. You want to stay in the middle of the road. And like I say, I've seen preachers preach this. Some of the people I went to seminary with, they come out and they teach this, and not too many of them, but I've seen some of them teach this, that you give $100 today, you're going to have $10,000 in your hand tomorrow. Well, you know what? God can do that, can't he? But what percentage of times is God going to do that? God wants you to get in the habit of giving, and he'll bless you. He can bless you financially. He can bless you with health. So many other ways God will bless. Matthew 5:45, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know what? Have you ever seen somebody that's rich that's just evil? I mean, gosh, I could show you TV people that are like that. You know, they're evil, evil people, don't serve God, and they're rich. You know, and even the psalmist, he said, God, I look and I see these people are rich and I'm serving you. What's up with that? Well, it's like I said last week, you know what? You don't know what they're going through in their personal lives. In Salt Lake City, when I was there, I think I shared this last week, I'd bought a house that was kind of at my limit, and I bought it in a nice neighborhood because they always say location, 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 which really paid off when I sold it. It wasn't one of the nicest homes. It was an older home. It was a nice home. It was older in this neighborhood, but I was talking to an appliance repairman one day. He'd come work on my fridge or something. And I said, I don't know how these people are doing it. Because, I mean, all around me were homes for $500,000, $750,000, and all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, what they're doing? He said, they're doing those interest-only loans. And he said, when I go in their houses, he said, they're eating on a cardboard box. That's their kitchen table. They're sleeping on a sleeping bag on the floor. And, you know, let me tell you something. You don't know what's going on in the head or the heart of those people. So don't ever judge what God's doing in your life by what he's doing in someone else's life. Just look at what he's doing in your life and count your blessings every day. I've got a good friend. He's a young guy, a very talented singer. He's from another country. But he's got an awful problem with depression. And this morning he put on Facebook, you know, how long do I have to keep being depressed and have to have all these bad things happen to me? And I wrote him back this morning and I said, you know what? I said, it'll go on the rest of your life unless you finally get to the point that you'll look at the good and not look at the bad. Focus on the good, not the bad. All of us have something we can look at that's not good, don't we?
Yeah.
But all of us have something that's good in our lives, don't we? I don't care how bad it gets. There's always something that's good. You know, my back's messed up, but I can look at other people. Like the other day, Barb and I went out to eat, and there was a lady there, probably 30 years old, and she was quadriplegic, and they were having to feed her. And I thought, you know, thank you, Lord, that I can walk. So we always need to count our blessings. When we talk about giving and receiving, blessings are always relative, okay? You know, when we talk about this God opening the windows of heaven and stuff, that doesn't mean that, like, we're in an economic recession right now. I really believe a depression. And they don't want to say it, you know. But when God pours out those blessings, that doesn't mean that you're going to be driving a Rolls Royce when everybody else is riding bicycles, right? But that means that people are going to look at you and say, hey, he's blessed. You know, that may just be something, you know, where you walk in peace all the time because you know Jesus. But people are going to know, according to Malachi 3, they're going to say, look, that person is blessed. God has blessed them. So we need to realize that. Blessings are relative. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but it's a lifestyle that you need to learn to get into giving.
You know, Jay, our motivation of the people who have given to get, wrong motivation, God came out of that. So why are you giving? I mean,
if they're doing it out of greed. Right. Now, we need to expect God to do what he says. That's my biggest problem. I give and I don't expect. But you know, if you go to work every week, work 40 hours a week, you expect your employer to pay you. Well, God said, expect me to. Let me do it. But our motivation's got to be right. Absolutely. You know, if you're doing it to become rich and be greedy and all that stuff, forget it. It's not the way God works. Matter of fact, what is it saying? James says, you don't receive because you ask amiss.
Right.
You ask for the wrong things. That's why you don't get what you're getting. Okay, during the Great Depression, I was reading this story the other day. There was you remember they had the soup lines? Those of you who have read the history of that?
Yeah.
People that used to have a good life and everything else, they would have to literally, well, like Michael's doing, he's same thing. He's feeding homeless people. He's feeding them every week. And I mean, hundreds of them. But people would stand in line and they'd bring their bowl and they'd get their soup. And this one guy began to ask all these men. He said, excuse me, sir, can I ask you something? The guy, yeah, and he says, While your life was good before the Depression, were you faithful to the Lord in giving your tithes and your offerings? And he said, he asked literally thousands of men that, and not one man said yes. Not one man getting free food, getting soup, said he was faithful in giving his tithe and offerings. That tells you a story right there, doesn't it? Give your tithe and offering, and God will provide for you. That used to always be my biggest fear, because I went through such like a 7-year period of just terrible financial trouble, and that used to be my biggest fear. What if I can't support myself? What if I end up on the street? Let me tell you something. If you do what God says, you're not going to be there. That's not going to happen. God, you may not live in a mansion, but God's going to make provision for you. This law of reciprocity has had God makes provision for your family. You need to learn this. The psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. If you feel like you're forsaken and you're having to beg for bread, you need to check your heart and see what's going on. First of all, are you giving? Second of all, are you trusting the Lord? Are you expecting God to meet your needs? There's something wrong, and it's not God. It's like you said, Karen, God is always the same. God is always faithful. God will always do what he says. Now, let me tell you some cases where this law of reciprocity doesn't work. And that's even part of God's law. Matthew 7:6 says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. You look at even this law of reciprocity works in international relationships. We talked about last week how after we beat Japan in World War II, we had the Marshall Plan. We went in and literally spent billions of dollars and rebuilt Japan. And look what's happened. Instead of making cheap goods out of beer cans, literally, now they're making some of the best products in the world. They're one of the most blessed countries economically. And it's because and look what's happened to us. Because we gave to them, America's been blessed. We didn't start getting this blessing in this country until after World War II. I mean, we were just another country before that, but we became a world power after World War II because we give. That's the reason we still talk about all this stuff, how bad it is here. This is still the greatest country in the world, absolutely, by far. And unless people, I think a lot of people go overseas, they don't see that. Steve can tell you.
Move to Syria.
Yeah. Yeah. Any country, any other country. Mexico.
Cuba.
Mm-hmm. So that's an area where it doesn't work. We gave to Iraq. What did we do? We set the Iraqi people free from a brutal dictator. And what did they do? They squandered it, didn't they? They squandered that freedom. They went into a civil war. They're still in a civil war. They're still blowing each other up. And they talk about being Muslim and they won't hurt Muslims and all this stuff. They're killing each other all day long.
Sunni and Shia, they don't get along.
Yeah. So these cases, it won't work. It's the same thing with bad people. You know, don't sow your seed in bad things or bad people. Okay? It means if you go down, how many times you see somebody, they were a drunk, they get saved, and they decide they're going to go to the bars, and they're going to start telling people about Jesus. That lasts about how long? Well, different for each
first
people.
Drink.
First drink. Doesn't work because they're sowing their seed in the wrong place. We've got to be faithful about where we sow. And you know what? Matthew 13:8, talking about this, Jesus talking about the parable of the sower. He says, let me go just a minute more, Steve. I'm almost through. He says, talking about the seed, he says, but others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That means some things were 10,000% increase, some were a 6,000% increase, and some were a 3,000% increase. How many bankers do you think would jump on that? And that's what Jesus said would happen if you give into good ground. So be sure when you give that you're giving into good ground. Let me just give you a couple more things and we'll wind this up. That way we won't have to go into another week. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would come to Him must believe that God is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So let me tell you, if you're seeking God and seeking His Word, which is Jesus, He promises He'll bless you, right? So all this stuff is on the website. Please go back and listen to this again if you don't get it. Look at the outline. Look at the notes. If you've got questions, give me a call. But find something, like I said, if you can't give 10%, if you don't feel like you can do that, find something you can give, but not something that's just easy. Find something that's going to stretch your faith. And you don't count the cost before. You give this first, and then you pay all your bills after that. And God, it's amazing how God makes up the difference. I've seen it a million times. A friend of mine, real quick, that I worked with in the oil field years ago, his name is Stan Hudson. This guy's going to be one of the main characters in heaven when we get there, let me tell you. The oil field was a dark place. Matter of fact, guys were always doing drugs or they were drunk out there. And so we were always telling about Jesus. He was always just so on fire with the Lord. You know, never there was a time he didn't have a smile on his face. He told me one day, he said, you know, Jay, he said, I make $50,000. Man, I think I made 20, maybe. That was good money at the time. This has been 25 years ago. And he said, but you know, he said, that's what I pay my tithe on is this $50,000 a year. He said, but I really need to make $60,000. So he said, I just told the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm going to believe you for $60,000. So I'm going to start paying my tithe. But like that's what I'm making. So he started paying $500 a month, which is the tithe on $60,000 a year. 3 months later, I saw him. There's a place sometimes we'd stop and have lunch out in the oil field. And he says, hey, guess what? I said, well, he says, I just got raised to $60,000 a year. And he was giving the glory to God. And he wasn't doing it because, you know, greed or anything like that. But that's how faith operates. And he didn't have the money. He had like five or six little kids. He didn't have the money to just do that. But he knew that if he gave it, God would honor that. Okay? All right. Like I say, please go back and go through that. If you don't understand, don't get it, call me. Let's talk about it because God will bless you. And this is how God makes provision in our lives as Christians.